Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. And we shall read again at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And with the Lord's help, it is especially verses 29 and 30 that we would seek to consider. Luke chapter 2 at verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was a godly man, and he feared the Lord. And his walk was close to God. And that being the case, he received a promise from God. It was intimated that he would not die until he had seen with his own eyes the promised Messiah. And then the time came when the word of the Lord would be fulfilled to Simeon. He was led by the Spirit into the temple, and it was at the very moment when the earthly parents of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, were bringing him into the temple to do for him after the custom of the law. Simeon, the disciple of the Lord, would see what he had long been waiting for. And he takes the child Jesus into his arms. In the warmth of love and gratitude, he reaches out to receive the holy child Jesus into his arms with a clasp of spiritual affection. Simeon's eyes were beholding the salvation of the Lord. The eye of faith looked with enriched perception upon what he had been looking to all along when he was anticipating the consolation of Israel. But now, you see, his physical eyes were looking upon the Lord Jesus. But more than that, the eye of faith beheld him, and the arm of faith in his soul held him. And he knew by this experience that nothing was keeping him from death. In fact, having seen the Lord's Christ, he was ready to depart from this scene of time according to the word of the Lord. Are you ready for death? And how will you and I be ready? How will we feel ready? It will be by doing what Simeon was doing, looking with the eye of faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God's salvation. If you would be prepared for death, your eyes need to behold God's salvation. And it is this doctrine, this Sabbath morning, that we would endeavor to consider and lay hold of and seek grace by, with the Lord's help, that seeing God's salvation makes us ready to die. A view of God's salvation gives immediate preparation for the moment of death. A view of God's salvation gives immediate preparation for the moment of death. Being ready to die, dying peacefully, is to be had through seeing God's salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Not long ago, we considered several directions in order to prepare for death. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And that is a preparation that we should engage in throughout our entire lifetime. Now we desire to consider the subject as applying to a person who is especially near the approach of death. When we are actually on our deathbed, or when it is apparent by reason of our age or illness or some danger we may be in, what should be our thoughts? What immediate preparations should we make? Above all, let us notice that the way to be ready to die is especially by beholding, seeing God's salvation. So, the Lord helping us this morning, let us look at three things. First of all, we're thinking about being ready to die. Simeon was ready to die. Are we ready to die? We want to consider, first of all, the definition of being ready to die. In the second place, the directions of being ready to die. And thirdly, the delights of being ready to die. Are you ready? Am I ready? Well, if we are truly ready, we are happy. So first, the definition of being ready to die. Secondly, the directions for being ready to die. And thirdly, the delights of being ready to die. Why should we have this subject this Sabbath morning? Because we are all going to die. That is certain. What is uncertain is when it will be. Therefore, we need to be ready. Ready to die. This is not a gloomy subject, because being ready is being satisfied. And that is what we want to consider partly. That Simeon was ready because he was seeing God's salvation. When you see God's salvation, you are blessed. When you see God's salvation, you are ready to die. Ready to pass from this world into eternity. With assurance, with peace, with cheerfulness. Let us look at, first of all, the definition of being ready to die. It is dying in the Lord, as we have considered before. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Dying in the Lord. They die in the Lord, and he goes on to say, from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So those who are ready to die, die in the Lord. They are blessed. They are in fellowship with Christ. They are looking to Jesus and happy in Him. Well, let us look a little more closely at the words of Simeon. He was dying in the Lord. In fact, he was seeing God's salvation. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He recognizes God as his master. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. And he himself, Simeon, is the servant. Both words here in the Greek are strong words. You could easily translate master for Lord, or even, well, it's actually from the word from which we get our English word despot, a very domineering master. But here it is, of course, not speaking of a slavish kind of tyranny, but an absolute Lord or Master. Lord, thou art the ruler, thou art the master, now lettest thou thy servant or slave. It's a strong word in the Greek, implying a bond slave, one who is completely devoted to his master. And both words are put together so that he says, now lettest thou thy servant, Lord, depart in peace. So he puts both together, and the point is that God is the ruler. He is the master. We are to be his servants. We are to go from this world into eternity when he says so, at his command. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now you say, but is this not a prayer? Is he not asking to go? No, it's not a prayer so much as a statement. It is true that many of us have read these words as a prayer, as if he's saying, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. But then it would not be lettest thou, it would be let thou thy servant depart in peace. And the Greek, of course, makes that very clear. He is stating a fact. It is not, please let me depart, but now thou art letting me depart. And in the very act of God letting Simeon see his salvation, he was letting Simeon depart in peace. Lord, now thou art releasing thy servant according to thy word in peace. So, according to thy word, yes, Simeon had received a promise from the Lord that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Simeon recognizes that God is faithful and true. He kept his word. Thou art letting thy servant depart in peace according as to what thou hast told me, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I have seen the Christ. I have seen thy salvation, because thy Christ is thy salvation. Yes, he is Jesus, the Savior of sinners, the Savior of his people. And now, Simeon, seeing God's salvation, he would depart in peace. Simeon would now have a peaceful death. He could not die in peace until he had experienced the fulfillment of the promise. That would not, he would not feel easy in that way. But now that God has fulfilled his promise, Simeon has seen the Christ, he's ready to go. Nothing now is keeping him back. He would die willingly. He would die peacefully. Yes, he would die readily. He was ready to die because he was seeing God's salvation. Being ready to die like Simeon involves three things: to die willingly, boldly, and contentedly. Dying and being ready to die is to die willingly, boldly, and contentedly. Yes, it is to die willingly, like Simeon, ready. Going to death not as to a prison, but as James Durham says, as through a trance to a palace. Through a trance to a palace. It is not wishing for more time, but willing to go now that God calls us. Like Paul, who was willing to die, knowing that to be with Christ is far better. That's to go cheerfully. That is being ready to die. Simeon was ready. He wanted to live long enough to see the Lord's Christ. And now that God had fulfilled this promise to him, he sees God's salvation. He is ready to depart. Lord, now thou art letting thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Being ready to die involves dying boldly, with confidence, not with fear, not with terror, not with anxiety, being doubtful about our case, questioning what is going to become of us, that is not being frightened, but bold. It is being assured that all is well, and it is facing death with the attitude of a soldier, with confidence, fearlessness, and boldness. It is being, like Paul, persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, not even death. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death," that's the first word, "neither death, nor life, nor angels shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, like Paul, he was bold, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So Simeon himself was trusting in the faithfulness of God, trusting in the word of the Lord. He knew what was going on, and he boldly waited his departure. Being ready to die is dying contentedly, thirdly. Dying with contentment and satisfaction. So if we had our wish, we would desire nothing else. We would be ready, we would be satisfied. Now's the time, we've lived long enough, we've done our work, as we were pointing out at the prayer meeting. When God calls us, that means our work is done. And what more should we wish for? Having done all our duty, we've left nothing undone. We've tried to keep a good conscience throughout our life. And now God is weaning us from the world, whereas some, When they are not ready to die because things are going so well for them, they're in love with the world, like the farmer who said, "Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Soul, take thine ease, eat and drink." He wasn't ready to die when God said, "Now this night thy soul shall be required of thee." And others, when things are going rough for them and they are suffering, they want to go right then and there, but God has not called them so. But how good it is to be ready to die according to thy word. When God says it's the time, then we go, we depart from this world with satisfaction. We are content. And having enjoyed communion with God and Christ in the past, we are assured that death will just bring more of the same wonderful communion with Christ in a greater, inconceivable increase of fellowship with Him. Like Jacob, who, when he was assured that Joseph was alive, what did he say? "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." And then later on we read Genesis chapter 46 and verse 30. "And Israel," that is Jacob, "said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." And seeing God's salvation gives that ultimate satisfaction. Like David, who said, "This is all my salvation and all my desire." What more did he want? When Simeon saw the Lord's Christ, he was satisfied. "I've had what I was looking for. I'm satisfied. Therefore, Lord, I am ready to die." Well, briefly, apart from seeing God's salvation, what is the source of these three things which constitute dying readily? Namely, willingness, boldness, and contentedness. What is the source of it? Well, three things. Peace with God through faith in Christ, looking to the precious blood of Jesus, having our sins forgiven through the one who died on the cross, who worked out a righteousness and purchased reconciliation by his death on Calvary. It is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus that we are justified and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace with God through faith in Christ, one. And two, having a good conscience, void of offense toward God and toward man. And thirdly, a lively and distinct frame of spirit, which is a present acting of faith on Christ. In other words, really, it is viewing God's salvation, looking to Jesus. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And that is the ultimate source of dying willingly and cheerfully, boldly and with confidence, and contented and satisfied. Is this what you long after? Do you want to be ready to die when the time comes? You need to be having your eyes fixed on God's salvation. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Well, in order to be truly ready, we need to consider some directions in regard to being ready to die. The directions for being ready to die. Last time, about 2 weeks ago, we considered the subject of death. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. In other words, prepare for death. And we considered 10 or 11 directions regarding preparation for death. And we would just look at that for just a moment and refresh our minds and just mention these 11 directions. And then notice 4 or 5 particular directions for immediate preparation for the moment of death. Well, we notice that we are to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and live was the direction given to Amos for the people of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Seek the Lord and you will live. Don't go to Bethel. Don't look to golden calves. They will not save you. Lest God break out as fire in the midst of Israel, and nothing, not even Bethel, will quench that fire. So seek the Lord and you will live. Believe in Christ and you will be saved. That's the first direction. And then the second direction is meditate on death. Lay hold of the reality of death in our consciousness in order to stir us up to prepare for death. All the more we need to think about death. The third direction is self-examination. We need to examine ourselves. Are we truly the Lord's people? Are we in Christ? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Are we really in Him? Are we united to Him? As Archibald Alexander points out, while it is the case that many of the Lord's people long for greater assurance to be ready to die, yet with many people who call themselves Christians, the reason that they see little or no evidence of saving grace is because there is none. There is no grace in their hearts, and that's why they don't have the evidence of it. That's why they're not comfortable and assured about dying. We have to examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith, says the apostle. The faithfulness and the skill of the minister is tested in these times when there may be someone on their deathbed who is not certain about where they will be when they die. And we would never want any of God's people to be sad and needlessly. But as Alexander points out, it is better that God's people at times go through some unnecessary pain than for one who has no grace to be cherishing a delusive hope, to be confirmed in their mind that they're saved when they're not saved at all and they're still on the way to hell. That is a terrible state to be in, and it's better for God's people to be searching their hearts going through some anxiety about their state, rather than anybody should be confirmed with a false security. So, for those who are elderly, near eternity, here's a call, more than ever before, to search your hearts. Examine yourselves. Go back to your first experiences. Was there a real conviction? Was there a real enlightenment in the knowledge of Christ? Was there a real change of heart? Drawn to Christ, away from sin, finding Christ precious, a willingness to give up idols, and to serve the Lord. But after all, the examination of previous experience, the great question is, at present, what think ye of Christ? Are you seeing, are you beholding God's salvation? Are you attracted to the loveliness of Christ? Or would you, thinking in terms of holiness and sin, would you rather have the law of God relax its standards so that you might indulge yourself a little more? That is no sign of grace. But if you're willing to be obedient to God, if you're drawn to the Savior, and you loathe what you find in yourself because of sin, and you're willing to do God's will, delighting in His law, then your evidence is valid, and you're ready to die. Well, we should engage in this impartial, close examination in order to prepare for death. And then the fourth direction, repentance and mortification, repenting of what we have discovered in our hearts and lives to be amiss. Fifth, moderation, holding the world with a loose hand so that we'll be ready to let go when the time comes to leave this world. Six, humble submission to God's will when we are used to submitting to God's will when difficulties arise. Then when death calls us to depart, we'll only be doing something that we were used to doing all along. Seven, keep a good conscience. Give up what you know to be sin. Don't delay performing what you know to be your duty. Eight, die daily. Live as though it were your last day in this world. Do nothing that you do not wish to be found doing when death comes. Nine, forgive others and be reconciled to those you have offended. 10, pray. Pray for grace. Pray for dying grace. Pray that you will have greater views of God's salvation. You would have a greater glimpse of Christ, His suitability, sufficiency, glory. And 11, be diligent in the exercise of grace and Christian practice. To know if you have grace, exercise grace. To know if you have the Spirit within you, exercise, bear the fruit of the Spirit. And then you will know. And then you will be prepared. Wherefore, as the Apostle Peter says, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, notice he says, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now perhaps both you and I will say that it is easy to mention this list of directions, but to actually put them into practice is difficult. Yes, and the old Puritan James Durham said, it is hard to be dying and living at the same time. Of course, we would point out that what we are seeking after is a habitual preparation for death. Throughout our whole life, engage in this preparation, which affects everyday life. And we understand that our minds are finite and we can only think about one thing at a time, really, with focus and attention. And therefore, it is a continual habit of meditation and preparation. Especially when we have freer moments, our thoughts will be more focused upon eternal realities. When we are given a moment in which to relax, we won't be immediately thinking about our hobbies. We will recognize we have souls on the way to eternity. So it's a habitual preparation. And there will be occasions in which some of these directions are called forth to exercise more than at other times. For example, in the use of recreation and lawful enjoyments, there's the direction to put into practice moderation. When we meet with difficult circumstances, here's the direction to put into practice humble submission to God's will. Keep a good conscience continually. Continually going to the blood of Christ for forgiveness. Continually seeking to ensure that our practice conforms, squares with God's law. Never delaying to perform what we know to be our duty. Even the world will say, don't procrastinate. So, having said that, it is good, it is needful to lay to heart these directions. The big question for us is, what value do you put on dying peacefully? What is important to you? Is it making sure you have a great holiday at the end of the year? Is it making sure your family has the best health care? Or is it your soul? Is it the souls of your children and loved ones? Is it dying in peace and not in terror at the moment when you pass from this world into eternity? What price, so to speak, are you willing to pay in order to have the insurance of peace when you come to die? My believing friends, don't expect dying grace unless you are preparing for death. Only if you make use of the grace that God gives you now can you expect more grace when you come to die. So, as Durham says, Christians, study more tenderness. Have a consistent walk. Keep a good conscience. He says, for the Lord's sake. Otherwise, though you will be saved by faith in Christ, after all, yet you may, he says, and you probably will, have an uncomfortable voyage from the world into eternity. And you may be in some considerable fear. Therefore, I trust that everyone will recognize that it is important to prepare for death, that we might be ready to die, that we would die willingly, boldly, and contentedly. And so we have briefly five more directions for the immediate connection with dying. At the moment when it is so certain that we are very near the approach of death. Well, one, collect scripture promises, know them by heart, have them in your memory. Precious promises for the occasion of death. And when you're going through your last moments, these may more readily come to mind to comfort you. Two, pray for dying grace. Pray for grace. Put up many prayers for grace and strength for a dying hour. Then three, ask your friends to pray for you. You're on your deathbed. You're very sick. The doctor says you are terminally ill. The time has come. Pray and ask your friends to pray for you. And then four, keep your minds from anxiety. Don't give in to perturbing cares. Stay calm. Don't be engaging your mind in politics. Don't give in to gossip. Give up thoughts about for example, national security and all the ins and outs of the fiscal policy, but focus on the cause of Christ? Yes. Think about the need for ministers and praying earnestly for them? Finding out what's going on in the congregations of the Lord? Yes. Encourage younger people who are venturing out into the spiritual warfare? Yes. So, here are some directions. Keep your minds from being filled with cares. And five, seek communion with Christ. Because dying in the Lord is dying in communion with Him. And having a greater love to Christ will make you ready to be with Christ. So how do you increase in love and desire for communion with Him? Think about Him. Meditate upon Him. Like we read in Psalm 45, meditate upon His person and work and love for His church. My heart brings forth a goodly thing. My words that I indite concern the King. My heart is overflowing. And he has a view of Christ. He says, Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. So friends, to be ready to die is again beholding God's salvation, looking unto Jesus, beholding Christ, being filled with love to Him through a view of Him. And there is, we want peace when we come to die. Well, there is peace in believing. When we see Christ, well, the Apostle says, He is our peace. Simeon says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Why? Because mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And so this is the main way to be ready to die. To have direct acts of faith upon Christ. To be constantly viewing Him. Looking to Him, yes, our minds be focused upon Him, the heart going out to Him. Yes, by the help of the Spirit, the as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that they may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, yes, to know Christ, to see Him, and to view Him, to have greater views of Him. Thine eyes have seen thy salvation. So to depart from the scene of time, to depart in peace, is to be looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, seeing the suitability of Christ, a Savior suited to our needs. We have broken the law. We deserve God's wrath. He fulfilled the law. He suffered God's wrath. Here is a Savior who is suitable for us. Seeing His sufficiency, nothing more is needed but Christ the Lord. He is an infinite Savior, able to atone for a multitude of sins, the vilest sinner. He is a sufficient Savior. Seeing the excellency of Christ, there is nothing, no one like Him. He is fairer than the children of men, the chiefest among 10,000. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing Christ? His excellency, He excels all others. And the worthiness of Christ, nothing is so worthy, intrinsically valuable as Christ. He is the prophet to teach us, the priest to save us, the king to rule over us. He died and rose again. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Are you seeing? Are you viewing Christ? Are you beholding His worthiness? And are you beholding His glory? He is full of glorious majesty. A crown of purest gold is placed upon His head. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Lord of glory. Beholding God's salvation, His suitability, sufficiency, excellency, worthiness, glory. Well, that brings us to consider the delights. The delights of being ready to die. In the third place, the delights of being ready to die. We looked at the definition, we noticed the directions, we come to consider the delights. What delights God's people enjoy when they have thus been preparing for death? They have not ignored the 11 directions. They're putting into practice the 5 directions of immediate preparation, and they are ready to die. They are delighting in God's salvation, and therefore, what a delight to be cheerful, bold, and satisfied. Now, it is true that believers may die without a sensible, perceptive comfort and still die secure. So we wouldn't discourage anyone who, even at this very moment, may be near the approach of death and yet does not have the assurance of personal salvation. Your state, if your evidences are good, your state is sure and you are ready to die. But still, we would say, seek this delight. Seek this readiness, because surely it is impossible to feel ready to die unless you have some glimpse of God's salvation, some sense of the glory and preciousness of Christ. So even in your last moments, seek this salvation. Seek the felt enjoyment of God's salvation. Because even in these moments, God is still able to show you His salvation. Be praying. Psalm 35, verse 3. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And this speaking to you, God speaking to you, is that not similar to God showing you His salvation? Well, seek for it. Seek after it. Pray that God would show you His salvation. Now, what are the delights? Well, enjoying the promises. There was Simeon. He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Thy word has come true. And God is true to His word. He will fulfill His promises. And so you are praying, remember the word unto thy servant, Lord, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Psalm 119, verse 49. Like Simeon, you're saying, according to thy word, do as thou hast said. I'm experiencing now what it means when God says in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God is supporting you as you make the passage, as you pass through the Jordan River to the promised land. God is upholding you. Yes, you've collected the promises, you've stored them up in your heart, and now you're experiencing the fulfillment. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's no fear now, for thou art with me. In Psalm 48, verse 14, as we sang, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Yes, He shall swallow up death in victory. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yes, God is showing you His salvation, even to assure you, as He assured the thief on the cross, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Yes, and like Stephen, you will pray with assurance. When Stephen, even when he was outwardly suffering, He was looking up steadfastly into heaven. He was seeing God's salvation. We read in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then he kneeled down. He cried with a loud voice, here he is, prepared for death. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He forgave his enemies. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So God will give you delights when you come to die. You are ready, and he is filling you with comfort at the end of the journey. Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, says, how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? Why, you will do as a man does who had a long day's walk and he can see his home. You will clap your hands. You will sit down upon the next milestone with the tears in your eyes and wipe the sweat from your face, and you will say, it is well, it is over. Oh, how happy it is to see my own roof and the place where my best friends, my kindred, dwell. I shall soon be at home forever with the Lord. Yes, you will be like a soldier. When the battle is over, he takes off his armor and he stretches himself out to rest. He's not thinking about his wounds. He's thinking about the victory of the battle and the reward which follows. Yes, Christ gives the victory. Be of good cheer, he says, I have overcome the world. He makes us more than conquerors through him that loves his people. He gives us victory over the last enemy, which is death. So he will give cheerfulness. He will give confidence. He will give peace in the soul and the boldness to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He gives the certain expectation of a glorious resurrection, so that the child of God, the one who is ready to die, says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Yes, like Paul, who says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, with boldness and confidence, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Do you love his salvation? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Are you seeing God's salvation? Are you thus ready to die? But more than what we have just said, those delights include communion with Christ, looking to Jesus. Having had communion with Christ before, he gives more communion when you come to die. For those who are enjoying communion with Christ, they have a sense of his love. And that is through seeing God's salvation. You see, one of the fruits of Christ's purchase at Calvary is the assurance of God's love, as well as increase of grace and perseverance to the end, joy in the Holy Ghost, peace of conscience, peace in the conscience, and the assurance of God's love. Well, we should pray for that. And to experience that when we are ready to die through seeing God's salvation. Should we not pray with the church in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. So even when you pass through death, that experience will not extinguish the love of Christ for his people. Verse 7, many waters, the waters of death, cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. No, it is love which is strong as death. It is love from Christ to his people, making them ready to die. The delights of being ready to die. Yes, it is all through the one who is, as Simeon says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, when we see the light, the shadows dissipate. They're gone. We're not scared anymore. The shadows make the child frightened. But when the light shines, all is well. And Jesus is the light of the world. And he is the brightness of the Father's glory. Oh, how we should long to see God's salvation, the light of the world, in the dying moment. Because then the fears are gone. Through seeing God's salvation and having communion with Christ, perfect love casteth out fear. Our anxieties are relieved through the one who is God's salvation, who says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Guilt is removed by beholding the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Are you beholding him? Are you coming to him? Are you believing him? The call is to you and to all that are far off. Repent and believe the gospel. Come to the Savior. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And through seeing God's salvation, the world will lose its attraction. Satan will be defeated. You are assured that the sting of death is gone. The curse is gone. You need not fear. You are ready to sing his praises because they looked to him and lightened were, not shamed were their faces. This poor man cried, God heard and saved him from all his distresses. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him, the one who trusts in him is blessed. The love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Seeing God's salvation. John Owen, when he was on his deathbed, you know, he wrote a lot of books, a lot of treatises, works that we read today. And he wrote about beholding the glory of Christ or seeing God's salvation. And a friend came to him and said, "Sir, your work, your book on beholding the glory of Christ is just about to be published." John Owen said, "Oh friend, I am going to behold that glory in a way than that I have ever seen before. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I will go on seeing thy salvation and getting a glimpse and a greater view of God's salvation." You are ready. Yes, because when you come to die, it's not really death at all. It is sleeping in Jesus. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 2. The work is done. The sin is gone. And God is fulfilling his promise to you. Yes, we read in Psalm 91, "I will show him my salvation. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him," and so on. "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Falling asleep in this world, you are waking up in heaven. You are carried by the angels, entering into the gates of the city, and beholding the face of God in light and glory. You look around you and see your friends. You see your spiritual teachers, the prophets, the apostles, the patriarchs, and you are perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. When you see Christ face to face, you are seeing God's salvation. God has fulfilled His promise, and you are feasting on eternal delights, contemplating God's precious truth, basking in the sunshine of His love, joining with the angels and God's people in praising the Lamb forever and ever. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Yes, God says, I will show him my salvation. And the child of God says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The definition of being ready to die, directions of being ready to die, and the delights of being ready to die. It is not a melancholy thing to think about death and being ready to die. It is only if you're not in Christ. But being ready to die is being in Him, and it is the happiest way to live. Perfect love casteth out fear. And looking unto Jesus, coming to Christ, and seeing God's salvation, you will not only be ready to die, but be ready to do whatever He would have you to do. You need not fear death. You need not fear difficulties. Even the martyrs, many of them did not fear death. They were overcome with emotion through the full assurance of God's love. They were ready to die, ready to do the work of God. Then are you coming to Him? Why will you reject Him? Why will you die without Him? Repent ye and believe the gospel. And then, like Simeon, you will be ready. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. May he bless his word. Let us pray.